Meanwhile, in an MSP galaxy not that far away, the marketing force is strong with this one.
Hey, it is great to be back on the show, and here's what we're talking about this week. How regulations that affect specific types of businesses can become a great marketing tool for you. I'll tell you how much you can afford to spend to win a new client, and my special guest is going to tell you how compliance can actually become a profit center for any MSP. Welcome to episode 272.
Powered by MSPMarketingEdge.com. Paul Green's MSP Marketing Podcast.
Imagine doing some marketing for your MSP that's so relevant to the person who sees it, they immediately stop what they're doing just to listen to you. And yes, it is possible for your marketing to be this powerful. It means you can reach more people and persuade them to talk to you with much less work. Let me tell you the surprising secret to this kind of marketing, and you won't believe what I'm going to ask you to Google. Now, I should start by admitting that this isn't really a marketing tactic that you can use for a general audience. It only works when you use it for a vertical. Your MSP doesn't have to only work in this vertical. You can have lots of different clients doing lots of different things in lots of different sectors. But this specific marketing idea only works for a vertical audience. And you can't just reuse it across different verticals. You have to do some research for each vertical that you're using this tactic to target people in. But the payoff is immense, because targeting to a vertical is already a beautiful thing to do. Is it so much easier to send a message that's highly relevant to an audience within a vertical? So, for example, if you're targeting lawyers and you use the phrase legal practice, the part of their brain that filters information, which is called the reticular activating system, it decides that what you're saying is relevant to them. So they ignore stuff that's aimed at general business owners and managers, and they listen to stuff that seems to be targeted at lawyers. And that works across all verticals. Now, this new marketing idea that I have for you right now is even more specific. Okay, enough teasing. Let me tell you what it is. So you pick a vertical that you want to win more business in, and then you do some Googling. And what you're looking for on Google is specific regulations regarding cybersecurity or data retention, or in fact, anything that you touch. Specific regulations that affect that vertical. So for example, let's say you work with healthcare, right? There's going to be tons of regulations or laws specifically aimed at healthcare businesses. Lawyers will have them, CPAs, accountants will definitely have them. Manufacturers will probably have them as well. So go and find that regulation. And in an ideal world, you would then talk to someone who runs a business in that vertical to ask them what pain that regulation causes for them. Because don't forget, these are not technical people. So some kind of regulation around data retention, for example, it's easy for you to think, oh yeah, I know how I'd fix that. I know how I'd deal with that. But for them, it's a pain. And that's what we're looking for here. We're looking for regulations that create pain and are annoying to specific verticals. Because then you're going to target that pain with your marketing. Imagine how powerful it would be to send a message to a business owner in a very specific vertical, talking about a specific problem that's caused by a specific law that only relates to them, and exactly how they can fix it. And we're not trying to use fear marketing here. We're just educating them about a problem they already have and how you have got some possible solutions. Because you know that almost any technology headache can be made easier or taken away. And that's what you want to talk about. So how would you actually use this in practice? Well, it would definitely be content on your website. You might do a report or a guide on it. You might put that on LinkedIn. You might even just send it out to people who work in that vertical. You may even turn it into a piece of direct mail. Imagine how powerful it would be reaching out to someone, everyone in the vertical in your area to say, hey, you know that headache that you've got, which is explained here? I know how to solve that headache. Can I send you some information about this in the post? Can I mail it to you? And I know that that sounds very old school, but old school physical stuff works very, very well in our modern digital age. So, some research for you then. What's the vertical you most want to win new clients in? What's the regulatory headache that they have that you can solve? And what's going to stop you taking action on this right away?
Paul Green's MSP Marketing Podcast, still to come.
What we've just been talking about there, of course, is compliance. And I know that that's nobody's favorite word. As an MSP, you must have all sorts of compliance headaches that you might need to help your clients to solve. Well, my special guest today has a very different way of looking at compliance. He believes it should be a profit center for you and not a headache center. And he's going to be here to tell you about that in the next few minutes. With what I'm about to tell you in the next 60 seconds, you might think, I've lost the plot. But what if there's a marketing move so daring it could completely reshape your MSP's future? Let's talk about the surprising way top MSPs outsmart their competition and the bold strategy that could change how you grow forever. Anyone who's ever made a serious attempt to grow their MSP organically knows that it's an expensive process. It's not uncommon to find a business that's winning loads of new clients and at the same time experiencing a cash flow crisis because of the cash cost of attracting, winning, and onboarding those new clients. Now, typically, we learn this as business owners the hard way, normally at 4 a.m, lying awake in bed, wondering how we're going to make payroll. And this is why when I'm advising MSPs on their growth, I teach them to get their cash flow sorted or any funding in place before they embark on a serious round of new client acquisition. I believe it's the cost of acquiring new clients that encourages MSP owners to do it on the cheap. Most people are always looking for ways to reduce their marketing spend, and yet that is completely the wrong approach, in my opinion. Of course, you should always look for value for money, but rather than looking at ways to reduce the amount you spend on acquiring new clients, you should be willing to spend more than your competitors to win the right kind of new client. And here's the secret. Don't be distracted by the short-term costs of getting a new client. Instead, focus on the long-term revenue and profit that they are going to bring you. Let me ask you some questions about this. When you win a new client, on average, how many users do they have? And how much do they pay per user per month? And how long does a client stay with your MSP on average? Now, let's say your average new client has 10 users. And just to keep the numbers easy, let's say you charge them $100 per user per month. And your retention will be excellent, because of course it is for most MSPs most of the time. So let's say you keep a client on average for 3 years. I realize it's probably going to be a lot longer than that, but we'll just go with 3 years. So 10 users times $100 a month equals $1,000 a month. 1,000 times 12 months equals $12,000 a year. And $12,000 times 3 years equals $36,000. You with me so far? So without doing any projects, without selling any hardware or licenses, that new client that you just signed is going to be worth $36,000 to your business over the next few years. $36,000 of brand new revenue. And if you wanted to get even more excited about that figure, now work out the gross profit of that new client. Let's say you had a 75% gross profit margin. Well, 75% of $36,000 is $27,000. So that's 27 grand of gross profit. And you can take this a step further. What's your net profit margin? Let's say it's 15%. So 15% of $27,000, and I know we're doing lots of figures here, but 15% of $27,000 is $4,050. $4,050. You pay tax on that, and that's your personal money to spend. Can you see the power of thinking this way? Because while most of your competitors are thinking about the $1,000 that they get from the client in the first month, you're focused on the revenue, the gross profit, and the net profit that you can collect from your client over the next few years. That $36,000 revenue figure is known as average lifetime value, and it's the value of the average client over their lifetime with your MSP. When you know this figure inside out, it allows you to make some very, very sensible spending decisions. Spend $50 a day on quality traffic, $1,000 on a powerful piece of direct mail, $30,000 on a high-quality salesperson. These are all costs your competitors will not be willing to spend because they're not thinking the right way. One caveat with this, and it goes back to what I was saying right at the start, to make this way of thinking work, you need to make sure you have adequate cash flow or funding in place to spend this money today, and then, of course, to reap the benefits down the line. Never, ever do marketing that puts your business's cash flow at any risk.
Paul Green's MSP Marketing Podcast, still to come.
Have you ever wondered if your technicians get bored when they're doing first-line support work? I mean, it can't be that much fun resetting passwords or setting up new users. You personally probably hate it after years of doing it, right? Maybe the answer is gamification, where you turn boring, repetitive tasks into something fun. And I've got some ideas for you on this. I'll tell you about them in the next few minutes. Tell me, what's the dirtiest and most disgusting word your MSP knows? For many, it's compliance. However, while most MSPs see compliance as a hassle, it could be your ticket to standing out, scaling up, and even buying a new Porsche. So let's get into it. My special guest today is going to tell you how to turn compliance into a marketing edge, why it's a goldmine for profit, and the key to unlocking its full potential for your MSP's growth.
Hi, my name is Cam Robertson, and I'm Vice President of Sales and Marketing with Beachhead Solutions.
And thank you so much for joining us from the beautiful San Jose. Is that how you pronounce it, San Jose? It is.
Exactly.
Yeah, in California, where for you it's sunny and light, and here in the UK, where I'm based, it's wet, it's raining, it's dark, and it's miserable. And why don't I live in California? Anyway, we're not here to talk about California in the UK. We're here to talk about growing monthly recurring revenue through compliance, which is something that many MSPs have looked at, and maybe they've been put off a little bit because even just the word compliance is a horrible word. But we're going to talk about how we do that. Before we do, Cam, let's explore your career a little bit, because you have quite an impressive track record in using compliance and helping businesses with compliance, and particularly helping MSPs to turn that into a profit center. So give us a brief overview of how you've got to where you are today.
Okay, how much time do we have?
Not much. Just make it a brief one.
I'll make it brief. I started my career with Apple Computer. In the early days, we were involved with imaging. So I was in product management, developing products for our imaging space. I've had just three careers, essentially. I started then an ad agency, which I grew to become one of the top agencies in the San Francisco Bay Area. One of my clients was Beachhead Solutions. And just about the time I was prepared to sell the business, my colleagues then at Beachhead asked me to come and join the company to run marketing for them. And so we were already doing a lot of the collateral and the positioning and branding and so forth for the company. And so it was very appealing to me. And of course, then coincidence had it that the business was sold successfully, and I went to work for Beachhead, and I've been there ever since.
Amazing. That's a really great story. And this company, Apple, that you say you work for, what do they do?
Well, then we did computers, personal computers, to compete with the monolith, and which was IBM at that time, and now of course more known for phones and tablets.
Yeah, I'll have to Google them later and see what they do. So let's talk about compliance. So just that word, and perhaps I should say when I work in marketing, right? So I'm not a tech person. Obviously, I work with MSPs, but marketing is the least regulated space on the planet. So, and you'll know this because you used to run an ad agency, right? So there's a few basic rules you must stick to. And like here in the UK, we have the Advertising Standards Authority. So if I put an advert out and I put it on TV and it's factually incorrect, I'm in trouble, right? But the reality is there's so many checks and balances to stop that happening, you wouldn't do it. But in most other marketing, there's very few rules. And I'm sure this is exactly the same for you with your ad agency. And most MSPs, I know now and again there's talk of, what if MSPs become regulated? And that fear, well, some fear that, some welcome that, it kind of goes around now and again. But the reality is, compared to real compliance, we as marketers and as MSPs, we don't have that compliance burden at all. So you can understand why a lot of MSPs would see the word compliance and think, yeah, I'm not going near that, even though there are plenty of software solutions and other ways that we could do it. When you talk to MSPs about turning compliance into a revenue stream and a profit center, how do you overcome that natural reluctance to get involved in the client's compliance?
Yeah, that's a great question. Fortunately, that's becoming less of an issue over time because it's coming from the MSP's clients. They're getting, you know, more and more learning that they are in fact regulated by one mandate or another, or they're seeing it as evidenced by things like supply chain questionnaires from those that are in their space. Hey, what are you guys doing from a compliance perspective? What are you building your security stack against? Or with insurance questionnaires, you know, good security is good security and compliance demands good security. And as a result, you know, the insurance companies, they're not stupid. They're formulating their requirements based on certain frameworks, certain security standards, much of which mirror exactly these compliance mandates. So, you know, it is, in fact, going to your point about, you know, it's a fear factor.
Yeah.
And I know, you know, HIPAA was the bellwether years ago. That's for the medical industry primarily. You know, a lot of them they didn't want to hear about it. You know, we'll just push this down the road and not think about it because it is daunting. And I think that's the backward approach. Instead of looking at it as something that's onerous and going to make it tough on you, instead look at it as an opportunity.
Yeah, I love that. I think that's the perfect approach. And I guess we all deal with enforced change in different ways, don't we? So some people embrace it early on. Some people have to be pushed into it. But hey, let's be honest, it's managed services, right? It's not IT support anymore. Those days have gone. And so what do you do to help MSPs take that compliance and take it from being a burden to becoming a profit center?
Well, I think that it's incumbent upon vendors in the space to provide tools that assist the MSP with providing the service and to be able to demonstrate compliance. And so we are, you know, I don't mean this to be a plug, but, and I don't think we're unlike other vendors. We are providing the mapping from our services, our controls, to the control numbers that are required of the various mandates. I think that is a trend that will continue to see that and provide tools that will assist the MSP with, you know, providing compliance and to be able to demonstrate compliance in the event of an audit or a breach or whatever. So we're recognizing that this is, you know, something that's coming. It has come in some respects, but I think more and more, just like anything, it filters from large enterprise and it works its way down such that everybody is going to be held to this, you know, similar standards. And so getting ahead of things for us is to help our MSPs, but for the MSP is to start thinking about these things, understanding where their stacks up, mm-hmm. pardon me. expression there, but you know, where there might be gaps and how we fill those gaps so that we can provide the service appropriate for the regulated client.
Yeah, that makes perfect sense. And we will come on to just a brief look at the exact services you offer. We'll do that towards the end of the interview.
Sure.
So in terms of, we've got this compliance then, the clients need to do this compliance. Let's be honest, regulation is not getting less. There's more and more regulation. So the need is going up. Do you recommend to MSPs then to try and get ahead of the curve? So to actually get to grips with it, put in place compliance solutions, and then be the one that can proactively go out to their clients and say, hey, what regulations do you guys have to comply with? Because we now can help with XYZ. Do you recommend that? Yeah. And is that, as much as you recommend that, is that the route that most MSPs go down, or do they tend to come to you when they're already a little bit behind the curve because a client has already asked them for something they don't know how to deliver?
Yeah, absolutely. You know, the best case scenario, if your client comes to you, and they will come to you, is for you not to have the answers. And I absolutely recommend, you know, being compliant is not rocket science. It is a bit tedious. It's a bit, requires research. What tools in my stack address these requirements of the mandate? And I don't intend to scare MSPs because most MSPs have a terrific stack. They have tools in place that secure data and prevent, you know, compromise. But they're not exactly sure how those map to the specific numbers. And so most will find when they go through this exercise, and my recommendation is to start with a framework, 800.171, it's a NIST publication, or CSF, Cybersecurity Framework. Go through that, map your products to those control numbers, and get a start on this whole process. Because once you are able to identify that, you'll know where you may have holes, you'll know the answers for the various mandates. And the good news is it's becoming more formalized. Most are now referring most compliance mandates, and you're aware of them, right? There's CMMC 2.0, which goes into place in several days now. FTC safeguards, HIPAA. They're more and more referencing frameworks so that instead of having all these different mandates and numbers, they're sort of focusing on and getting more homogeneous. Because as I mentioned earlier, good security is good security. You know, have MFA in place, have encryption in place, have, you know, data segmentation and those sorts of things. And then, you know, you're going to be much better prepared to answer that question when the MSP says to you, hey, I just learned that I'm regulated by the FTC safeguards rule. Mm-hmm. Are we in position yet to yes, no, you know, you'll have those answers. As I said, that's the, you know, being embarrassed maybe is the best case scenario. But those clients that are regulated are going to be looking for a more comprehensive service.
Yeah.
You're not expert or have no answers, chances are they may go to someone who is.
That makes perfect sense. So actually, you as the MSP, you can jump in and you can say, hey, I don't know about that specific regulation, but I do understand that most are on a framework and we're set up to help with XYZ framework whatsoever. I must just mention, Cam, you just mentioned something which goes live in a few days. We recorded this back in December last year. And obviously we're listening to it on the podcast or seeing it on YouTube today. So that whatever that regulation was you mentioned, that's live. That's been live for a few months now. I think so essentially what you're saying is be prepared, right? Understand that the regulations tend to sit on top of frameworks and then obviously know where to go to get the solution from that. And let's swing that round and finish this interview off by looking at what it is that you and your business specifically does to help MSPs. So let's take that exact scenario that you've got an MSP, they know that their clients are regulated, they perhaps don't know exactly what it is, what it means, they know it might be a framework. How does your business fit in there? Tell us what you do, how it helps.
Okay, yeah, so thank you for asking. Beachhead Secure is a platform for MSPs specifically to provide, first, the controls. We actually provide 150 of the controls necessary of the various mandates. So manage those controls, make sure they're in place, be able to demonstrate that you're providing those controls for your clients, and then be able to document it. And so, again, I know this is going to air later. By the time this airs, we will be able to, within the product, be able to map all those controls that we provide, encryption, MFA, least access privilege, data sanitization, to the control numbers that are required of the various mandates. So if you have a client that is regulated by HIPAA, for instance, you'll be able to see the controls that are put in place so that you can document it for an audit, or under circumstance of a breach, or to provide that service to a client, say, look, we have the controls necessary in place for HIPAA in this instance. Here's proof. Here's what we'll need to provide an auditor if and when, or we're somehow, unfortunately, audited.
Yeah. Yeah, that makes perfect sense. So, Cam, thank you for explaining that for us. Thank you for taking us through that. I think we're almost talking about a mind shift here, aren't we? About a mind shift from, oh no, the clients are asking for help on something I don't want to be involved with, to, hey, it's inevitable. It's almost like cybersecurity 10 years ago, isn't it? That 10 years ago, people were starting to ask about, what's this cybersecurity thing? Or why is my screen gone red? What can I do about that? And you know, not a single MSP on the planet today would not not touch cybersecurity. It's a standard thing. And I think what you're saying, I think reading the subtext, is that compliance is just going to become another one of those things. And we don't want them going anywhere else. We don't want them forming a relationship with another MSP anywhere. We want them continuing and strengthening the relationship with you, which means you have to take a proactive approach to compliance. And it certainly sounds like you guys have put together a great solution for that. Let's just finish off then, Cam. Would you just tell us, what's the best way to get in touch with you? So what's your website? How can we find you on LinkedIn?
We are at www.beachheadsolutions. There's two H's in Beachhead, which often is overlooked. I'm Cam Robertson on LinkedIn. I've been all around a while. So I've got that. Cam Robertson is me. And I would be happy to answer any questions. You know, just one last point, Paul. You know, I think that a lot of our community struggles to distinguish our practice, how to differentiate our offering from the guy in the next county or the large nationwide type guy. This is a great way to distinguish your practice, compliance, as opposed to, having the lowest price out there. And unfortunately, many go that direction. I think this is an opportunity for MSPs to differentiate their offering from the competition.
Paul Green's MSP Marketing Podcast, Paul's personal peer group.
Producer James, what have we got today?
Well, Paul, today we have a teamwork issue that comes from Seb in Detroit, where his MSP is based. He writes, "Some of my technicians are bored doing routine work, but someone has to do it. I've heard of the concept of gamification. However, how do I gamify work?"
Yes, so gamification or gamifying something is easy. It's about making mundane, boring jobs fun. And you see this a lot with vendors and with SaaS apps in particular. They gamify the onboarding to encourage you to finish it. In fact, I once signed up for something called ClickFunnels and completed the onboarding on a Saturday morning just to get my free t-shirt, which they did send to me. Good gamification is simple to understand and it has a fun reward attached to it. It's also highly visibly what needs to be done and how much there is left to do. And the brain loves to complete tasks that it started where it can see the end in sight. So think how long computer games actually take to finish, but you never think of it as a 60-hour challenge. You only think about each level at the time. So in your MSP, consider how you can gamify routine and boring jobs that your team need to do. For example, you could turn them into a daily contest with a leaderboard. How many tickets can you get completed in a day? Something like that. Think about sales calls. There's a great way to gamify this, putting paperclips in a glass. And every time you pick up the phone to make a call, you move a paperclip into the other glass. Let's say you want to do 50 calls today, you put 50 paperclips in the first glass. Don't do that with M&Ms because the M&Ms get eaten. Think how you could do it for big tidy-ups. You could set a deadline with a countdown on a massive screen and have cold beer ready as a reward. And think what you can do for completing projects on time. This could be as simple as every time a project is finished and if it happens on time and all the checklist has been ticked off, that there is a very simple reward for everyone who's worked together on that project. And that reward could be as simple as everyone gets pizza today.
Coming up next week.
Thank you so much for your ears this week. Next week, we're going to look at what you do when all the marketing that you're trying just doesn't seem to be working.
For MSPs around the world, the MSP Marketing Podcast with Paul Green.